Welcome, Spartans, to Halo TV Plus, part of Evolved, your home for Halo. I'm your host, Oren, and on Halo TV Plus, my guests and I will recap Halo's original TV show, Halo the Series, and we'll discuss its contents and unique canon within the Silver timeline. Joining me again to discuss Episode 7, Inheritance, is Aaron. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here again.
As you know, Halo TV Plus publishes a commentary podcast episode and an analysis podcast episode to accompany each Halo the Series episode every week. This is the analysis episode, where in a moment, Aaron and I will highlight key scenes from Inheritance and discuss its effectiveness on screen while adding some core canon knowledge for context. Earlier in the week, we released our commentary episode for Inheritance, where we discussed the whole episode while watching it. If you missed it, I recommend listening to it, as it kind of complements what we talk about here. But it's up to you. Before we dive into the analysis, I have some housekeeping for the podcast. If you're new to the show, welcome. Halo TV Plus is part of Evolved that hosts a variety of other Halo shows like Podcast Evolved, Halo Book Club, Mission Debrief, Builds of Blocks, and Halo Headlines. Evolved also partners with the podcast HCS Pro Talk, where Josh and Will discuss the latest information within the competitive Halo scene, with an emphasis on community every week. You can learn more about all of those shows on our website, evolvedhalo.com. And as Halo TV Plus is a new show, I ask that you rate it and leave it a review. I greatly appreciate all the feedback that I receive from our listeners to improve the quality of this show as we continue moving forward this season. I would like to take a moment to thank all of our patrons for their continued support. Your contributions allow us at Evolved to continue making new content every single week. Thank you guys so, so much. And if you're not subscribed, our patrons receive a variety of exclusive rewards, such as early episodes, unique swag, access to our podcast soundtrack, and more. You can head over to patreon.com/haloevolved to learn more. For Episode 7, Inheritance, we have Quan's journey to uncover her family's true purpose, takes her deep into the deserts of Madrigal, and Soren is obsessed over unfinished business. It was directed by Jessica Lowry, with a runtime of 50 minutes and 44 seconds, and it originally aired on May 5th of 2022. Now, Aaron, I guess we'll just dive right in. This episode is very much a Quan-centric episode. Master Chief technically appears in it, but only as a hurdle and a sort of barrier that she needs to overcome in like a dream sequence. But it's otherwise all about her. And we do have a bit of Soren, and kind of a little bit of his motivation and how he, you know, is digesting certain things. And he ultimately, you know, kind of returns and helps her succeed into what she's trying to do. I think this episode was very much needed. I kind of mentioned this a little bit on the commentary episode we've already talked about, that having this episode be only focused on Quan and then by extension Soren, it allows screen time to develop her character, so then her importance to the plot gets a little bit more highlighted. Because I liked your take on this. Leading up to this point, we only have been getting not that much information and not that much character motivation aside from, or not actually, we've had plenty of character motivation because she's very much been like, oh, I need to finish what my father started. I need to fight the insurrection. I need to, you know, break away from the UNSC. But that's just been the kind of the dialogue. There's been no progress with that over the last couple of episodes. So to finally see some progress in this episode, I feel like has been very rewarding. Would you kind of agree with kind of that we kind of get a sense of purpose with Quan, at least to a greater degree than what we had before?
Yes, absolutely. I think this is the meat on that storyline that we've been missing, I think, up until now, because it has been spread pretty thin until this point, where I didn't entirely buy her motivations or anything else. The interactions between her and Soren didn't feel as great up until now. I quite enjoyed this. Like, it's not the best episode maybe of the series so far, but in terms of what it's done for those two characters, I personally appreciated it. Like, I think it did a lot. We discussed it in the commentary episode. I think this episode should have come sooner than now. I think a lot of these motivations should have come before now. You have that vision quest where Quan's father says to her, you know, we're protecting the planet, but not necessarily from the UNSC. We're protecting it from everyone. And that's the sort of motivation she needed from the get-go with this, and not merely, I want to go and find the army and carry on where we were before.
Yeah.
I'm glad they get there. It's better late than never, but I do think we could have had this a few episodes earlier and slimmed down some of the storyline slightly.
We see this episode kind of kicks off with this idea of these mystics, and they kind of get hinted at, I think, in episode 4. And we talked a little bit about it in commentary, but I want to touch on them a little bit more because I think it'd be interesting to learn more about them and kind of what their purposes, because I the more I think about it, I almost get a sense that they may have some sort of protective nature of, you know, whatever this well is. You know, we see a well that one of Quan's ancestors is, you know, just looking for water in, and a monitor pops up from it. And so I like, do we think that these mystics were here long, long ago, and they have some sort of tie to like forerunners even? Or do you think they're just kind of, you know, maybe they saw the monitor and they kind of have this kind of religious journey that they're kind of going on about? Like, what are your sort of like speculations in that regard?
My immediate speculation is this like the TV show's introduction to things like geishas, and is that what drives these people? You know, do they feel the connection to, like, I would assume that the woman that appears to be in charge there would absolutely have the same gift that Maki and Chief have. If you tell me that she's another one of the chosen ones, I'll buy that.
Yeah, a blessed one.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that being something that could be explored.
The thing we were trying to work out during the episode that we were sort of confused about was, it looks like this is 6 or 7 generations of Quan's family, which is about 500 years, which is maybe a bit much for colonizing this world. So like the ancient mystical tribe, combined with the fact humans are only supposed to be colonizing space for a couple of hundred years, they kind of run into each other a little bit. So I'm not entirely sure how that meshes together.
Yeah, I don't know. And I feel like, I thought we said it might be a little less than 500, but so I think it would probably land closer to like 300 years. But I think there's definitely some history here that we'll learn, hopefully in the next episode or maybe in the finale, that ties back into the Forerunners. And that, you know, for those that may not know, like, ancient humanity is like a thing in the ancient past of Halo that goes back like hundreds, like 100,000 years ago. And so I don't think these people are those people, but the idea of Geish is, like you were talking about, to where these ancient humans could have some sort of imprint on modern humans. Like, I've been kind of waiting for these types of conversations to come up, because like those Forerunner mysteries and just kind of like history of the rings is part of what makes Halo very interesting. When you that's more of the sci-fi of the show compared to the military side of the show that we've gotten a lot of in kind of recent weeks. And now that we have actually seen the Halo, like, we're definitely getting to that point of, you know, what the Halo is and where did it come from. And I really want to see Quan's story tie into Chief's story a little bit more, so it's not completely separate. And I think there's something there that can connect the two together. And I think it all boils down to this portal.
I am wondering now, I've seen a few people speculate as well, because I don't think this is going to be a portal to the Halo, but I do wonder if these might be clues that Madrigal isn't a natural planet, and that this could be a shield world, and that's what the portal could be. Like, this could be, you know, some sort of large Forerunner facility, and that this is why it's the fuel source of the UNSC, basically.
Wow, that would be very interesting.
This might be that monitor, things like that, because I can't see it being a portal to the Halo, because we're going to get to the Halo, you need the captain keys, you need the ship. That's going to have to be a thing, I think, in its own right. But if this was like the in the middle bit, where this could be something different. Like, there, you could find there's a monitor on this planet and it's not Guilty Spark, and this could be our first introduction to basically like living Forerunner technology. I could see that being a thing, and that could be like the explanation.
I could see this portal leading to the ring, and it's just how maybe Quan goes to the ring, whereas Chief and the UNSC can still be working with the Keystones and stuff to find their way to it.
I don't think for a minute that Quan gets to the ring. I think we leave her behind at that stage. If we go there, I don't think she gets included in that part. I think she's going to somehow end up back in Sauron's arc again. From the setup, it looks like they're setting Chief up to go to the portal. He's the chosen one. He's going to go to the portal and go somewhere, possibly with Maquis. I can then see Quan ending up facing down Covenant Invasion again.
Okay.
And then ending up with Sauron on the rubble. And like we were saying in the episode, Sauron, his last big boost was slip space drives, which sort of sets up the Cold Protocol story of the evacuation of the rubble. Like, I could see that all being a bit of a thing and having two stories running side by side then.
And then while also having the Chief story on top of that, right?
Yeah, I can see suddenly Chief on the Halo being the end goal there, and then you'll have the other people, which could eventually end up being, you know, the fight to survive. It'll be Sauron returning back to Reach just in time for Reach to be attacked, and him and Silver Team trying to survive, stuff like that. Maybe we even go as far as the, maybe Quan will have the key to survival, which will be Halsey taking Silver Team and Quan to survive in the shield world of Madrigal. Like, I could totally see it going that far. And that keeps her in the storyline. Your ancient mystic desert people, along with Halsey and the Spartans, survive in the shield world to eventually be rescued.
Yeah. Man, that would be so hardcore, like, so quickly, if they really started pulling those things in these last two episodes, pulling these strings that I guess sets up what we do in season two. But I guess pivoting over to Sauron a little bit, do we get a sense that this is the end of Sauron for this season? Like, I mean, you just kind of said that there's the whole rubble thing from the books that the slipspace drive sort of set up, but I kind of felt that the way he leaves Quan on Madrigal kind of, I don't know, maybe puts an end to his arc for this season, to where he's made whole again. You know, he has his money, he has the ship, or I guess the extra ship, and then that money can buy him a new ship but still be rich, because I guess that's a lot of money in that case. And then now Quan's is fulfilled, or not fulfilled, but she just has a new purpose that she's now seeking. So she definitely has more, you know, goals to pursue. But like, what, I guess Sauron can live comfortably until maybe the Covenant attack the rubble. Maybe that's kind of the next inciting incident that calls Sauron back to either Quan or back to Jon, and just otherwise outside of his usual day-to-day privateering.
I can totally see that this would be the last time we see Sauron this season. Like, I think this is almost the last we see of Quan, never mind. But I think, yeah, I could see Sauron going off into the sunset with his money being it until like season two. And then we get one more appearance of Quan in the final episode, setting up whatever the big thing is. I could see that. But I do think, yeah, I think getting more of Sauron and like, the next story arc will be that, you know, showing the effects of the Covenant attacks, because we've only seen it a little bit, but like, Madrigal wasn't glassed, it's not been destroyed, it's still there as a planet. So I think that'll be like the next storyline for him as a character, will be saving his family and trying to get out, or not saving his family and the after effects of that.
Yeah, if I mean, the rubble could just as easily, you know, it's an asteroid belt, so to speak. So you can, you know, the Covenant can just start vaporizing small little chunks. And since he has his own rock, you know, he could be on the cable or something and trying to save his family. And the Covenant can just completely blow that up, and then he has to live with that, and we see the repercussions of it.
Yeah, like I could buy something like that. There's a lot of places you can slot him in then, you know, like a revenge arc against the Covenant could be interesting. So, but yeah, no, I do agree with you that there is something about this that feels sort of final about Sauron and his appearances. So I won't be surprised if we don't see him again in the final two episodes.
I hope we do, or at least in season two, because I really like him as a character. And I think there's more ways to insert him into the fold. That's kind of it for this episode, I would think, that I kind of really wanted to touch on. I know it's not too much of the conversation, but I mean, it's a lot of us kind of getting through these events to kind of get Quan back on her feet. And like we said, we kind of end her with this new purpose that she's going to try to uphold and get through. But as a whole, though, since, you know, we are nearing the end of the season, and you, of course, have been watching this whole time, is there anything else you would want to say kind of as the series as a whole, and kind of what maybe you want from the last two episodes, or highlight something that's happened in the earlier episodes? I think we have a couple more minutes that we can devote to that.
Oh, wow. So much to condense here.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes. Just kidding.
No, overall, I have enjoyed this series. I try not to look too closely at what the Halo community is thinking, because I mean this in the nicest possible way, but some of y'all are just negative all the time. I've enjoyed it. Like, I think the thing for me is it's been weirdly freeing that this isn't tied to the canon timeline, and as soon as they said that, something just like switched off in my head, and I've been able to enjoy this for what it is without like having to stress about it too much. Because I feel like if I was watching this and they were saying, oh, this is totally canon 100%, I think I'd have had a stroke by now, because there's so many little things that are different and all the rest that it would drive me mad. But I kind of think of this like I've been thinking about it, they're like the 2009 Star Trek. You're watching it going like, I know all these pieces, but they're all different. And it's been kind of fun because it's not affecting anything I know from before. And it's got its own just like different run to go on things. So that's kind of how I've been watching and enjoying it all. I think they've had more hits than misses, to be honest. There've been a few questionable CGI moments. There's one point in that very first fight that caught my eye where Chief jumps through the air and it feels like a deleted scene from the Burly Man brawl in the second Matrix movie with the iffy CGI. There have been a couple of moments like that here and there.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed with the quality of it overall. Like, it feels as good as something like the Expanse, which is quite a decent sci-fi show as well. I like a lot of it. Some things here and there, I feel like Cortana's been wasted a little bit. Like, so far, the brief interactions we've had with her as a character, she needs more screen time to be Cortana. And I know they're trying to like build her, and we're having to deal with Chief and his PTSD, but she's been sort of left to flail in the wind a little bit, and I don't necessarily think I like that.
Yeah. I mean, she is a young Cortana, and I think Cortana herself is able, or is still trying to find the relationship with Chief to really like use her full potential. Like, I kind of get the sense that because Chief isn't asking a whole lot of her, Cortana's just kind of there idling, waiting to be activated, so to speak, and waiting to be opened up to. That kind of puts her in a way that she isn't all that utilized.
Like, I would like to see more of that. Lots of little things. I do like some of the, it's the pieces you get from like canon Halo mixed in with other stuff. Like, you know, you have Cortana, but she's no longer, I find it interesting that she's no longer a microchip in the back of Chief's helmet. She's now a chip in his brain, and she's just Wi-Fi connected to everything now from inside Chief. I thought that was interesting to get her that, you know, you can have Cortana with Chief all the time without him having to be in the armor all the time.
Now that I see the show and how much he doesn't have his helmet on and how much he kind of comes out of the suit, I think I understand that choice now that they've done that, because now she's not tied to the suit. She's tied to him. And so he can take the suit off and Cortana is still there, which I think is what the showrunners and people were ultimately going for. And I didn't realize that until like the last episode.
The moment it clicked for me was when Chief is on Reach and he goes and has his like little walkabout and he's listening to the music in the train station and stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, I see now why they went down this route. Because when you see her implant the chip at the start, you're like, well, why are we doing this? Why is it straight into the back of his head? But then when you see him roaming about in his sort of civvy clothes, it all makes sense. I do like, it's different. I like seeing this version of the Spartans who, in the core canon, the reason that Halsey never like brainwashed the Spartans in this way and wiped their memories or anything else was the fear that it could all come crumbling down and that the Spartans would suffer this like PTSD and wouldn't trust the UNSC once the truth all came out. So she chose the more direct route of like fudging the truth a little bit, where she told them all they've been conscripted and basically said like, no, this totally has the blessing of your family. But seeing this like alternate reality where the Spartans were like chemically restrained
and yeah, and kind of like oppressed in a way.
Yeah, it's like a sort of, it's like a what if sort of timeline of what would have happened if this was the case. And like, I thought that was interesting when you saw how that affected during the like the big battle scene where Chief is like struggling but kind of getting through it, and then he has his breakdown sort of in the next episode, although some of that is tied to the artifact as well. Whereas you see Kai in that battle and how she just like completely loses it and locks up. You don't get that in the core canon because those Spartans are 100% immune to that.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had this chemical repression or anything else. So like, I like that, and I like seeing how that goes. Overall, I have been enjoying this. I haven't been unhappy with it. Getting this episode to sort of like push the Sauron end of things along, I think makes a big difference, but I haven't been unhappy with this. I'm just curious to see where it goes. Originally, I was wondering, would they get to the Halo by the end of this series? But I think now that's like a Series 2, Series 3 thing.
Nah, Series 3.
I could see it being the end of Series 2.
I think it would be somewhere in Series 2. I feel like they can almost find the coordinates, or they know, or they figure out how to find the ring without finding it just yet. Because we did just get, you know, the first visualization of the ring last episode. So I think there's now going to be conversations going forward with these last two episodes about what it is, what its true purpose is, you know, talk about the great journey, maybe not even about the fact that it destroys all other life. And now it's all about, all right, well, how do we find the ring? Because I think there's still that moment from the trailer that we haven't seen yet where Chief says, find the Halo, win the war. Unless that's been said and I just haven't seen it. So like, I think there's going to be a big push these last two episodes to uncover where the ring is now that we've kind of like seen it in this strange, like gauche kind of reality that we got at the end of last episode. To where then, yes, we wouldn't stumble upon it until next season.
I do have one other thought that it, I don't know if it like pushes a little too much lore into it, but my other thought about what the portal could be is, instead of maybe it being like a shield world and that end of things, what if it introduces us to the Forerunners through something like the Librarian? You know, what if it becomes the point where Chief will have a like a vision and a conversation for some story dumping? Like, I could see that being a thing.
I really want to see the Librarian.
I'd like to see that stuff.
Like, I kind of want something to happen to where it's just like, hardcore sci-fi, and it just really changes it. Like even seeing that monitor, like, heck, like, even talking to the monitor and popping up and be like, hi, I'm monitor such and such. Like, oh man, could you imagine if it was Tim Dadabo voicing? Like, oh, that would be such an awesome reveal.
I can absolutely see that when they got Jen Taylor to do Cortana, I can totally see Tim doing his own voice for that. You see, the thing that gets me is, I don't think, to get the big artifact back, I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but we know now from the script translations that was Atriox that took the large artifact.
Is that Atriox? What do you mean, the script translations?
Oh, you didn't see this. The guys that wrote the script that invented the Covenant language put that information out there. You can go and look, and apparently, during the conversations, that brute that took the large artifact during the battle is motherfucking Atriox.
Oh my gosh. How did I miss this?
It's not Tartarus. It's Atriox. Yeah, it's the guys that wrote the script. They invented the Covenant language. I haven't looked at all of it yet because I've been trying not to watch any of the videos, like Halo Canon's videos, before I got on this episode because I didn't want to influence it too much. But apparently, yes, there is translation and there is reference in those, like, Covenant language stuff that's Atriox and not Tartarus. Which means that potentially in this universe, the Banished isn't a thing, but Atriox is.
Well, at least not yet.
Yeah, so even in that timeline, like, that he's there, he's still serving the Covenant. So, there you go.
Well,
I feel like I've just, like, stabbed you in the head with the lore factor.
Well, I mean, it just poses more questions, and it's just like, okay, that's Atriox. Now we have to see him, you know, like we see McKee, you know, from her point of view. Like, I think we haven't seen the Prophets in a while. Like, it'd be nice to kind of see what they're talking about while McKee is doing their thing. Maybe the Prophets start getting untrusting of McKee, and they're, because I'm sure they're monitoring her somehow with whatever Covenant technology that they have. And if Atriox is now in the mix, then you got to introduce him somehow. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, you know, we know who Atriox is because we know the lore. And so just having him there, and it's like, okay, well, there's all these avenues that this TV show could pull from to go down this path. You know, maybe like some of the events that happen in Halo Infinite, they tell, when we first go to the Halo ring, when it's like, oh, well, the first ring that we find in Halo CE didn't have the Banish. And it's kind of like merging these two timeline points to kind of make this unique, you know, silver timeline narrative.
I have pulled up the information here. So the script writer the person in charge of this was David J. Peterson. He was the language creator for the Covenant stuff. And he said, apparently he released the information. It's the translations for the Covenant dialogue during the fight scene. You know, the way we get some subtitles for dialogue in that episode. So when they're talking to McKee and stuff on the ship, things like that. But in those translations for the battle scene, one of the elites refers to the brute as Atriox. So that's where that comes from then. So this is like a younger Atriox.
Yeah.
You know, it says here basically, like, it's not official till someone says it, but that is their translation from writing that stuff for that episode. This is the information. It wasn't included in the episode, but this is what it was. So it very well is Atriox then, which would explain why no Mohawk, because that's what I was looking out for.
Yeah.
Which I suppose kind of makes sense because he is probably the, I talked about, friend of the show DeSudo. We were playing some Halo and talking about this, and he is probably the best known brute now in the Halo universe, and he has the most story going for him, so that probably makes sense. But like, things like that I find cool, that we can pick and mix and chop about and move stuff. So I do think that means we may have to like find another way to get the artifact or get to the Halo.
Lots to think about.
So much potential, Orin.
Well, we're kind of getting to the end here. Is there anything else you'd like to say? I mean, I think we've kind of touched on really all we can. I mean, Quan's story, I think, has a little bit more purpose now. So that's good. But, you know, the conversation, kind of what's next, is kind of all about what's up with John and McKee since they had their ring vision, their own vision quest, and kind of where the story goes for these last two episodes, and kind of where Quan and Soren and the rest of the ensemble of characters kind of tie into all that. Just to kind of put a little bit into how we're going to cover all of this, you know, of course, we're going to have our episode eight and our episode nine commentary and analysis. And I imagine, you know, the episode eight analysis, we'll talk about what we think episode nine will be all about. And then after we do those four episodes over the next 2 weeks, then we'll have kind of a round table with some of the guests. I'm not sure who's going to be there yet, but we'll have some guests from the other episodes. And we'll all kind of talk about what we thought of the first season as a whole, and just kind of do one big episode there at the end of the month before we see what else we want to do for Halo TV Plus. So, Aaron, I guess that's it for now. Is there anything else you'd like to touch on before we close out?
I suppose I'm just going to go with my little prediction here, because I'll probably not be back on until the roundtable. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that episode 8 will be Halsey and Cortana centric and deal with Reach stuff, and then episode 9 will be Chief and Maquis-centric, and we'll get the band back together with all the major characters.
Well, if you're interested, Alex Wakeford releases his Silver Debriefing blogs every Monday. This blog is a source to recap the story of each episode in detail, serve as a hub for additional show-related content, and provide some more detailed insight into certain things. If you want to read the Silver Debriefing blog for Inheritance, you can head over to Halo Waypoint now to give it a read. Thank you so much, Aaron, for joining me, and the listeners for joining us for Halo TV Plus. Halo the series premieres exclusively on Paramount Plus every Thursday morning at midnight Pacific time. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, you can find every episode to all of our shows Evolved produces on our website, evolvedhalo.com. It also features links to our Discord server, Patreon page, Xbox Live Club, and other contact information. Once again, another shout out to our patrons for supporting Evolved and making all of our shows possible. You can head over to patreon.com/haloevolved. And finally, if you want to leave an email or a voicemail about this week's episode of Halo the Series, you can email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com, or you can give us a call at 205-EVOLVED. Which is 205-386-5833. And with that, I've been your host, Oren, and until next time, Evolved!
Evolved!